This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, how are you?
I'm well this morning. How's the world up there?
So far, so good. No real complaints here. Just because I want to make people cringe, we're going to talk about holiday retail shopping in August.
Yes. Well, it's a cool August, so maybe that's okay. But no, it is, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, it is a legitimate story. You know, Walmart is, a lot of the major retailers are gearing up to set up these layaway programs to entice consumers to begin their holiday shopping. Like you said, it's not even September 1st. Football season hasn't even officially started yet, and we're talking about Christmas shopping. But, you know, this is we've heard retailers talk about the tough retail environment and that the consumer is pulling back. And, you know, I think this is just one of the ways that, you know, if you can entice the consumer to spend more, but to spread it over, you know, a longer period of time, maybe that's how they get back in the store and get product off their shelves.
Well, I mean, when you consider just, like you said, how much of the retail sales it represents annually, of course they're thinking about it a few months out.
Yep, and they want to get, you know, and of course they're all, if the consumer is, like they're saying, and the consumer is cutting back on non-essential spending, then these retailers, online and brick and mortar, are all trying to gain market share in what is a shrinking market for the holiday season. Now, it's yet to be seen. I mean, we'll know come next January, February, what the sales are compared to the previous years. But, you know, from what we're hearing now, the retailers aren't exactly hopeful about Christmas sales.
Well, let's go from looking at the future to something that deals with the past. The city administrator of Fort Smith has that position now for the first time in nearly five decades, has greater authority when it comes to hiring and firing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It'd be interesting if we could get an honest answer out of City Administrator Ray Gossick as to whether he really wants that authority. You know, Director Pam Weber kind of pegged it. You know, she said that's, there are people concerned that it would just, you know, give him the, he'd just run rampant firing people, hiring the wrong people, whatever. But, you know, Director Weber, you know, hit it on the head when she said this is going to make his job more difficult. It could possibly make the job more difficult because, you know, when you have seven board members that make some of those critical hiring and firing decisions, it takes some of the pressure off. You know, if it goes bad, you can say, as city administrator, you can say, well, that was their decision. But now it will be his decision. It was an interesting switch, though. I mean, there haven't been any issues other than, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when they had the drama around the police chief. But that was one event out of, like you said, almost five decades. So it's an interesting switch. There was no push for it, but the board just felt that the city administrator was going to have the responsibility to manage, she should have the authority.
So now, whether we know if he likes or not, he has it.
Yeah, right. So,
good news for the Marshalls Museum this week. They picked up their largest one-time gift yet, $2 million from the Walton Family Foundation.
Right, largest... non-public
right
funds since they started fundraising, and you know, hopefully this will get them there. They still need, you know, 10 to 15 million just to get started on construction, and they're hoping to break ground next September, which will be the 225th anniversary of the Marshall Service. But they still have a long way to go. You know, one of the things we talked to Jim Dunn, the CEO of the Marshall Museum, the chief fundraiser, so to speak, and he's hopeful that, you know, not only is it $2 million from the Walton Family Foundation, but it's the Walton Family Foundation. So he's hoping that, you know, if they give, then other foundations and other individuals will see that as a mark of the stamp of approval, so to speak, and it could expedite decisions from other foundations and individuals. So that it could, in addition to the value, the $2 million value, that they hope it has that public relations value as well.
Well, and it helped. I mean, there was the boost in every broadcast, print, and web entity, you know, again, reminding perhaps some people who don't live directly in Fort Smith that, yeah, there is this huge project underway.
Right, yeah, and that's, I mean, so there's a lot of value in that. And let's hope they can get some momentum going. I mean, it's been it's been frustrating. I know it's been frustrating for the Marshals Museum staff, but it's been frustrating for us, the public, to watch because, you know, this was announced in 2007. They formally began the fundraising phase in 2009. So it's been a slower pace of fundraising than I guess we would have hoped.
Well, I mean, there was 2008 in there, and things changed dramatically in the fundraising world in that fall.
Right. Yeah, I mean, take a 100-year period and try to pick out the years you would not want to raise money. And, yeah, they did it in that period.
It wasn't October 1929, but it was close enough.
Yeah, it wasn't December 1941, but
right.
Yeah, it was a bad deal.
And finally, quickly, if you're a fan of civics and how government works, there was an interesting thing with the Sebastian County Quorum Court and the Hartford School District this week.
Yeah, and if you find someone that can adequately explain that law, let me know. And I'm being a little facetious, but for whatever reason, and this probably begs a story, maybe we should be working on this, but just a series of circumstances in which she had five members of the Hartford School District either forgot to file or didn't realize they were eligible to file for re-election. And so the Sebastian County Quorum Court appointed those five members. So, yeah, and it's an old law from the Arkansas Constitution, and, you know, part of when I was editing the story, you know, I was somewhat impressed that when this law was written, someone had the presence of mind to think that this kind of craziness could occur and we need to have something in place for it. So that, to me, that was, in fact, the more interesting part of the story.
That there was some forward thought there.
Right, way forward thought.
All right, Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, sir.